Off the Ball.
In association with AIR. Watch live and exclusive SSE Airtricity League action this month on AIR Sport.
This is News Talk.
You ain't shit!
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
But fans can be the harshest critics, you know.
And they often are.
A wife is often the harshest critic of her husband.
I thought I was invincible. That's what you're trained to believe as a sports person.
There was 4 million people in Ireland who knew much more about managing football teams than I did. When it comes to music, I can spoof with the best.
Your sporting career is the best time you'll have, and you know you have to hang on to it for as long as your life because everything else is pretty crappy.
And this is not light. Stephen Rochford has never spoken to Jim McGuinness in his life.
The words of Mr. David Brady can only mean one thing. It is time for our Saturday panel. And as is tradition, the night after, or the day after the All-Stars, I should say, we do have an All-Star panel. I'm delighted to say that all three of our guests actually won awards in the past 24 hours. Padraig Maher of Tipperary, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Also, hello to Paul Gainey, the man with the hat this afternoon.
How are you doing?
And to my right as well, Colin Boyle. You're very welcome.
Thanks very much.
I have to start by asking, I will go around the table, what time do we finish up at? Colin, we'll start with you, because you look the freshest face of the three, I guess. No disrespect to the other two.
Yeah, well, I was told it was around 6:30 or so, yeah, so not bad.
Finished up at 6:30. Mm-hmm. And a heavy one before that?
Yeah, heavy enough, yeah.
Come on.
Tough going.
I'm kind of interested in what kind of time it starts at for you.
Too early.
Yeah, too early, yeah. I suppose around 5 or so yesterday evening, yeah, when we all meet up, yeah. So
on to Coppers and afterwards, is it?
Yeah, I finished up there, yeah. Good night.
Paul, in a sense, you mightn't have finished up yet at all.
No, yeah, I finished up sometime last night. Right, you'll have to bring Sean, my fiancé, to find out what time, but I think it was about 3 or 4, yeah. So late enough, but sensible enough too.
Sensible
yeah.
enough. Did you end up in Coppers as well?
No, I didn't, no.
That's the sensible nature of it all.
Yeah.
As soon as you say no to Coppers, you know you've made a good decision.
You're saving yourself 3 days, aren't you?
Well, more or less, pretty much, yeah. Colin would probably be able to say that. Patrick?
I think it's about 5:30.
See, I'm not able. Mm. At this stage, like I'm 35 now. This age, you'd all be young. I can't.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it either now at the moment. To be honest with you.
Is like I'm kind of interested about the night itself. I've never actually been, and clearly I've never been as an intercounty player. Like, you kind of think that when we were talking about it beforehand on air that you know black tie events and all that kind of thing might be a bit stuffy and there might be a bit of a standoffish nature when there's players from different teams interacting with one another. I kind of get that sense that it's not like that at all. That it's a bit of a not necessarily. Free for all, but it's a little looser than we might anticipate.
It is, yeah. It's very easy going. Like in fairness, it's a really enjoyable night. I suppose we don't really get a chance to meet other players like throughout the year, like you know, and even for me to meet the boys and playing the football, like you know, it's probably likewise. You know, it's great to be able to hang out for a night and let down the hair.
Your experience is kind of different because you find out the day before essentially that you've got the All-Star. These lads find out literally just as they're about to walk up on stage. What, like your night is slightly different. Do you go into it more relaxed? Do you go into it like slightly more at ease with yourself and ready for the patter with Joanne or with Michael on stage, etc.?
Yeah, I suppose it is nice to know that when you're going up that if you are getting an award, I suppose it's more easy going than you're not as edgy, I suppose. And no, but this granted changes around every second year anyway, so
yeah.
The hurlers will have to wait next year again.
Do you find yourself just... does it take away from the night itself? Are you happy enough to get it the night before? Are you happy enough to take away that edge going into it? Or?
I know it's scrunching up, and as I said, you can let the hair down. You know, I say we've let down the hair either way, and it's all the way.
Paul, like for you, it's a case of you have to wait until the night itself. Like we often see these, especially like it's in award ceremonies in the States, whereby they show and put the camera up beside people who might necessarily be in the run, and we even see it ourselves at the Emmer Awards and the radio. That if you see a camera arriving up beside a table, you know they're going to win. If you see a camera arriving up somebody's aisle, you know that they're possibly going to get an All-Star. Do you get nervous beforehand?
I'll tell you the truth, like is yeah. Last year we were in the same Boys Park. It was like we were told the day before, like so. I think that looking back now, that was better because I was actually. I'll be honest, I was nervous last night. I didn't think I'd be as worried about it. Like, but it is a big deal. Like, it's a great honor to have. Like, you know, so. I wasn't nervous up until yesterday, and then I was thinking surely I'll get an inkling about whether I'm going to get it or not by tonight, and then I didn't have a clue. Like, and you're kind of looking around who's sitting around, Cullen's in front of me, but after that, then it was kind of a mix of all players and across the spectrum. Like, you know, and was trying to figure it out and hadn't a clue. Like, and I was actually very nervous by the time it came around to the full forward line, and I was looking up the nominees and I was saying, oh, I'm not getting my turn to shoot. I said, I'm not getting one here, like, you know. Yeah. But thanks be to God I got one, like, because it is a great, as I said, it is a great honour to get one, like, you know. So yeah, it wasn't last year was probably a better experience in that you knew going up, yeah, as well. And I had a few of the family as well came along last night, a good few, like, you know, there'd be the table of 10 there. So, and you know, and Shun's sister and her fiance were there as well. So you know, there was a bit of family there as well, and I didn't want to be carrying them out for nothing, like, you know. So it was actually nice to get it as well.
That thing of bringing the family along, and it being like, you know, the other halves come along, and you know, it's your 10, wasn't she brought with you?
Yeah, she didn't let you get that
many tickets.
We did much.
But like, it shows you how much that it plays on people's minds, I suppose, in through the year, and that this is the culmination of the year for players to even be nominated, to be in that room, to be at the convention centre, to be surrounded by your peers who have been at that level throughout the year, Colin. Like, to be nominated in itself is a huge thing, and a huge sense of pride, I'd imagine, you get from that too.
Yeah, obviously, as I said, you know, it's great to get recognised, and you know, I suppose there's a small bit of nerves when you don't know, I suppose, coming up to it, if you're going to get it or not. And you know, just speaking, obviously it was a great honour and all, but you know, if you're sorry for the boys, especially, we had a good few boys nominated for Mayo that, you know, that didn't get one, and it could have been any one of us really. And Paul mentioned there about the families and stuff, you know, we all let the families up and stuff last night, and you know, just speaking to the family members afterwards, that the, you know, you see the pride and the joy at the lads that did get awards and stuff. And then obviously talking to the family members who were disappointed with the lads that didn't get it, you know. So it's a two way, you know, street, I suppose, you know. But it's a great honour.
How many did you bring with you last night?
I had 4 or 5, and I had 6 or 7 anyway. Yeah, that was up. Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people to look after as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Brown to coppers afterwards.
you're getting a good plug.
There, yeah.
Paul Gaines bar down in Dingle as well.
That'd be the last mention. But we're kind of like two of you this afternoon are almost in the unusual sense. I think it's about 5 out of the 30 that got All-Stars aren't from All-Ireland finalists. And Patrick, you'd be one of those as well. Like, it was kind of an unusual scenario whereby the football team most definitely was dominated, and I have no sympathy for the Mayo players who didn't win them, because it's 6 out of the 15 and 6 and 13 in total from the football final got there. But like, you're on the smaller end of the wedge in terms of what you could get. So obviously there's a little bit more of clearly my year was half decent if I managed to impress and impress above the likes of the Waterford players and the Galway players that actually did make it to the final.
Yeah,
look, or do you think about it that way at all?
I suppose if you do get to the finals, you're giving teams are giving themselves a better opportunity of winning awards like this, you know. And I suppose, look, I said it's nice. I'd swap it no problem for getting an Ireland final, like, you know. And I know it's very easy to say, and the lads might say it as well, but at the end of the day, you want to win with your team. But look, it is nice to get it, and I suppose getting knocked down to semi final by a point was very disappointing. So to pick up one after the way the year ended, I suppose, is nice. And but again, I think you're giving yourself a greater chance for the likes of these awards when you do get to the final. You know, you're obviously more game time, and you know, you do find that going over the years. Even you see Dublin and Mayo dominate football there, like, so you know, Galway and Waterford, Ireland. So it is, if you get to the final, you're going to give yourself a great better opportunity to win these awards. Like,
is there too much weight lent to the final then?
Yeah, look, I don't know, it's like, do you pick them from the start of the league, like, or do you wait till the championship, you know? And you know, it's very
well, when you're like, because obviously you're all asked for your opinion as regards who's going to win All-Stars and who's going to win Player of the Year. Does that come into your considerations? The league actually play a part in your mind when you're choosing?
Yeah, look, I suppose you would look at the year as a whole, like, you know, and you can't not base it off the All-Ireland semi-final or final, you know. So that you do as a player, but obviously the lads picking them might do it a bit different, you know. And I suppose they might look at the bigger games and concentrate on them games more, what went on earlier in the year, you know.
Paul, what's your criteria for Player of the Year? Like, how long do you judge it by? Do you actually take the league into account?
I don't know, like, you know, it's, I suppose it's a matter of opinion there, but
I'm asking for yours.
My opinion actually, I was talking to someone recently, one of the lads that's down in Australia, and he said the way that they do it is that they write out down after every game who their man of the match was, and the players actually have a huge weight on who gets All-Stars at the end of the year, which isn't a bad idea, you know, because it does it at the time, you know, of every game, which every game's important, but it's important at the time, you know, and the first league game is the most important game until the first league game is over, and then after the All-Ireland it doesn't matter, like, you know. But at the same time, it's an important game, like, in I don't know how many games do we have in a year. Well, Mayo are a different story, aren't they?
we'll get to that.
In general, we have six or seven championship games and whatever, seven league games, so that's 14 games in a year, like. So 14 games isn't a lot, like, you know. And if you've played very well in four or five of those league games, that's four out of 10 games, you know. If you're man of the match in four league games or five league games, that's a 30 or a year, like, you know, nearly. So
it's pretty hard to write it off then, and mark it down as being insignificant.
It's not insignificant, because at the time it's very important. It's just as it moves on, you know, then the most important thing is the Connacht Championship or the Munster Championship, you know, or whatever it is, the Leinster Championship, the Ulster Championship. But,
or the 15 qualifiers you play for Mayo.
Absolutely, yeah. But, like, they were all the most important games at the time. But then when you get, I suppose, as far as the semi-final, everything else is forgotten nearly before that. And then the final comes, and you have an epic game like you had with Dublin and Mayo, and it doesn't matter what happened in the semi-finals, really. As such, you know, you might have picked one or two good players that had a good year, and they might get the All-Star. But it does, the final, as Parag was saying, has a huge bearing on the year, and it gives you a great chance if you do get to the final, you know. That's the way that it is picked. But I don't know, I suppose if it was more weighted throughout the year, it would be, but it would be impossible to pick, like, you know. Yeah. So that's why, I presume, why it's so weighted towards actually winning. And when it comes down to it, the All-Stars are the guys that are standing out, you know, the biggest day of the year when it counts, like, when it comes down to winning in All-Ireland, which is what all the players are there to do, like, try and win the All-Ireland. So I suppose that's what it boils down to.
Speaking of All-Irelands, Colm, are you over the final yet?
I suppose, you know, just time moves on, you know, you get over and you start looking on to next year. You know, it's never easy, obviously. It's not our first one losing, so, you know, it probably makes it that bit harder again. But you know, you just move on with it, you know. You think about it every now and again, but honestly, you wouldn't be thinking about it every day and stuff like that, but it would come into your mind every now and again and stuff.
It kind of dissipates. It's almost, you'd almost equate it with grief in a way, and without wanting to put such a heavy weight on it, but it is a thing that, you know, you kind of have to just let time, I presume, play its course.
Yeah, and that's it. And everyone, and, you know, people you meet on the street or wherever you meet at work or wherever it is, and, you know, people will be talking about it, you know, for the first couple of weeks, like, you know, every day, and then eventually it kind of just, you know, plays itself out and people start talking about it or stop talking about it and moving on to next year. But you know, everyone's in the same boat, as you know, with the supporters and the whole lot. You know, it's just huge disappointment, like, you know. But
getting by playing to Davitt, get to Davitt's, and getting, I suppose, just about your home life and your work life in general, I'd imagine, would
get back with the club, and, you know, you're back on the field, and, you know, you've different things to focus on, and, you know, different priorities and stuff, and different things in life, I suppose, in general, that you need to be looking at, you know. It gets you, because, you know, the boys, I'm sure, would tell you're kind of in a bubble throughout the season, you know. You're just concentrating on football, and everything is nearly based around that, and how, I suppose, you can get the best out of yourself. And then, I suppose, when it all comes to a crash and finish, I suppose, you know, it's kind of getting back to reality then after that. That can be tough, you know.
And in what sense can it be tough? Like, is it mentally trying to space yourself away from it, or is it, because these things can have a physical effect on people as well?
Yeah, I suppose a bit of mental, you know, mentally, physically, you know. You just list, basically, well, myself in general, you'd be thinking about it every day, basically, what I need to do today, you know, to be right for training, or to be right, you know, so I'm good for training tomorrow or whatever, or whether it's even just stretching or going to gym or, you know, something small like that. And then when you take that out of it, and I suppose the whole pressure that comes with it leading up to big games, and, you know, when you take that out of your life, then, I suppose, and you're just going back to normal life where there's, you know, very little pressure or whatever, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's, I suppose, like I said, it's reality, really, you know, and that's, it kicks in.
It's a weird thing to kind of acclimatise yourself to, is that level of pressure, because it is something that we mentioned about the weight of the league and how much import you'd put on that throughout the course of the year. But obviously it is a year that grades upwards in terms of where you're going, and ultimately where you're going is you want to be in the latter stages of the All-Ireland Championship. So to get used to that pressure, and for Mayo it would have been literally week in and week out this summer just gone. The intensity of that mentally, to suddenly have that stop regardless of whether you win or lose, would be an incredible weight to be taken off your shoulders, positively or negatively.
Yeah, because literally the way it worked out this year was literally just game on game. Like, it was great in a way, but, you know, obviously, preferably you want to be going through your front door and winning your provincial championship. But the way it worked out, you know, it was great, but literally it could end at any weekend, really, the way it was going, you know. Obviously, I think Andy mentioned on stage last night about the Derry game, our first qualifier game, wasn't going to plan at all. And Conor Loftus pulled us out of a hole with a cracking goal. And, you know, we kind of took from there with a lot of scares on the way. Cork in the Gaelic grounds in extra time, and literally going from week to week, then getting to a quarter final onto Roscommon and drawing there and drawing with Kerry again. You know, it was crazy, really, in a way, when you look back at how it definitely, when you're planning out the season, you wouldn't be taking a lot of them into consideration, you know. But just it was a funny one.
That win or bust mentality that the qualifiers brings you, is that a better kind of pressure to deal with than the potential of, well, sure, listen, if we do lose this one, then we drop back into the qualifiers, with it, that you will be in terms of the especially in terms of the Connacht Championship?
I suppose, look at you always want to win your provincial championship. It does, I suppose, maybe it does bring a different kind of pressure, you know. It's do or die, really. But I suppose you can't really be looking at that either. Like, you know, when you're going out into your provincial championship games, you know, you need to be winning them. I think the boys will be telling you it's you know, it's a better, much better feeling, much better, you know, much better pathway to go, you know, if you can do go through the provincial championship, you know. And obviously you get a bit of silverware at the end of it as well, like, you know. So but it probably is a bit of a different pressure, because literally one slip up here and it's all over, you know, your season is gone. So it probably adds to it a bit.
Patrick, you've been there as the All-Ireland winner who has to, as we mentioned, like, that pressure stops, goes away, you have to recalibrate yourself, go back to your club, go back to the grind of the winter competitions and then into the league and so on. How was that for you at the end of last year, transferring into start of this year, to try and get yourselves back up to that pitch? Was it a difficult process? Was it one that came easily to the tip squad, because you've been, so many of you have been there before? Or was it kind of, because every year would be all new?
I suppose we struggled this year, really, if you look at the year whole. I suppose if anything, we were trying too hard. You know, we kind of set ourselves the standard that, you know, we won the year before, so we have to try and bring it another level higher. So
what do you mean by trying too hard?
I suppose you're trying to, you know, do everything that bit more. You know, you're doing the gym, you're doing training, you're trying to look at ways, how can I improve this bit more, like, because, you know, trying to win, you know, we kept hearing back home and tips back to back, wasn't being done in years. So
does that play in your mind?
I suppose if you keep, someone keeps saying something to you, it's going to eventually sink into your head, like, you know. And but look, I think we get kind of overemphasized, you know, trying to find ourselves, you know, that extra bit of a level or to get up to, you know. And I suppose that kind of took the enjoyment out of it. We're putting too much pressure on ourselves, so I think that showed kind of in our performances throughout the year. You know, they were kind of up and down, you know, and they're very rangy. So look, I suppose it is next year we just have to kind of go back and get the enjoyment factor back into it, and I think that's when we play our best.
That Munster quarter final defeat to Cork, did that, I don't want to say take ye by surprise, because that does a disservice to Cork in a way, but did that give you a better sense of where you were as a group in terms of what you needed to do to press on through the year rather than where you had been in the league?
Yeah, it was a very difficult couple of weeks for us, because we got the hammer in off Galway in the league final as well.
Yeah.
And then we said, right, we're going to get ourselves right for the first round, and then we were very flat. I think it comes back to my point, is we're trying to overemphasise everything, you know. So I suppose, look, it was, you know, we didn't really think Cork were going to give us that performance, but they totally deserved to beat us that day, you know. So you know, we were kind of fighting our, you know, trying to catch our tail for the rest of the year after that, because as Colin said earlier, the back door is not an easy place to go, you know. And you want to win your provincial championship and go to the front door, you know. It is, if you want to get to All-Ireland final, that's the easiest way to go.
Is that something you discussed, especially after the league final, that, alright, listen, we know where we are now, we're clearly not where we need to be by the time September or by the time August or whatever rolls around? Was that a discussion that you had amongst the group? Was it a discussion you had with Michael? Was it, you know, something that you didn't even broach because you were supposed to know essentially where you're going to be or what you're going to be like level wise going forward throughout the year? Was it an outward discussion that you actually had?
No, not really. Look, we always emphasised on trying to win the Munster Championship. And we were very lucky in 2010, we were beaten by Cork in the first round, or in the first round as well, and we managed to get ourselves back to the final very luckily, like one or two games are very tight. So I think you bring more attention on yourself. If you don't go to the front door, people are going to be asking questions at home, like, you know, what's going on inside in the camp. You get all this, it's very easy to go to the front door, win the Munster final, and keep the critics away from the door.
They seem slightly more vocal in Tipperary, in the sense that we saw the stuff with Cathal Barrett, we saw the whispers around certain other members of the squad in the past 12 months that didn't seem fair in an awful lot of instances. And, you know, the Cathal instance was obviously dealt with by management, etc. But it seems to be that there's a far more, not organised, but at least a vocal whispering campaign that goes on in Tipperary around the side, if things aren't going necessarily to plan, and even sometimes if they are.
Yeah, you know, look, it does, I don't know why it isn't Tipperary, but it does take off like wildfire. But I suppose when Sinn came out with Cahill and he was relieved from the panel for the year, if people heard anything else, a rumour, they'd automatically believe this is true, like, because of what happened. So, look, for us, it was kind of laughable for the year, you know, and we've seen all the messages going around and stuff in the WhatsApp groups, and sure, all we can do is laugh at it, because at the end of the day, like, we knew it wasn't true, so we couldn't let it affect us and just try and move on.
Yeah, there's no necessarily finger pointing, and there's no kind of sideways looks and wondering, jeez, what's that lad up to? Such as the WhatsApp group says that story is true or whatever, you know?
Put it aside and see, is it actually true? Did you actually do that?
Yeah, just like, I know you mentioned in terms of pressure, it gets into your head, but none of that kind of nonsense manages to seep through.
Yeah, no, you can't. If you start letting that stuff affect you even enough to be worrying about.
True enough.
You know, going training 4 or 5 times a week, you know, looking forward to playing a big match at the weekend. If we want to let all that stuff seep in, we're not going to go on too far, I tell you.
Things seem to be on a slightly better wavelength than I imagine heading back. We'll get on to what you're looking forward to in 2018, but in terms of where Tipperary are as a group, but the, you know, Cahill's been welcomed back obviously fairly publicly as well in the last week or two. Things seem to be more on the level than they were.
Yeah, look, it's a clean slate and everybody's back in, you know, and we had a couple of retirements and stuff, and just about 10 new people brought into the panel. So it's freshened up again, you know, so again, we're looking forward to it again. And as I said, it is going to be a lot tougher this year. The league is coming a lot quicker to us in the January, so we won't feel that, like, so we have to be kind of in better shape earlier in the year than we usually are.
Mm. Paul, what's your plan between now and the start of the league?
Off to Australia tomorrow morning.
You're going as far as the international rules, yeah.
I'm going to go right. And hopefully we'll have a successful couple of series out there, and back then for the end of November, and I suppose I'll do a bit of work then before Christmas. And
you might as well do some, yeah.
I know, sure. You know, this is the time of year I'm supposed to be working, and here, there, and everywhere. But yeah, I know that's the plan. Just do a bit of work before Christmas. And
what you work at?
We have a pub in town in Dingle, so so it's
good. They're not getting any shifts out of you for the next while, anyway.
They might say that they don't get a shift out of me anyway, like, not for the next month anyway. So Other Voices is on next month in Dingle, so we'll be looking forward to that. It'll be busy then, and then we've Christmas, so Christmas is a very busy period as well, so we'll be busy then. But
the international real thing, we talked about the All-Stars, and we're obviously like around the table, the All-Stars in and of themselves mean a lot to you all. The Irish recognition thing, is that something that weighed on your mind before you got the call up? Or
yeah, it's something that I suppose that 2 years ago when I was watching the series on Dublin, the one game test in Dublin, it was something that I wanted to do, you know, because we don't have a child. Like when I was 14 or 15, I decided to stop playing, well, 16, decided to stop playing rugby and stop playing, you know, everything else basically, bar Gaelic football at 18. You know, I was playing hurling for a small while, but that was it. And then when I just concentrated then on football, you know, I was making the decision that it's all about the county and playing for the county, and there was never going to be a case of, you know, the rugby players get to play for Ireland and the soccer players get to play for Ireland, and that, you know, if you're good enough, obviously, but all together, it was ultimately taken away from you straight away that you couldn't play for your country. So this is the only chance that we'll get as players to play for our country. So it was something I always wanted to do, to put on the Irish jersey. So it's definitely something that I've been looking at the last 2 years, that if I was ever called up to be given a chance, so given a shot, I'd take it. And happens to be in Australia this year, so it's a good trip as well, you know. On top,
you almost get to live as professional for the couple of weeks as well.
You do, yeah. So we've about 6 or 7 weeks of training done, and it was very good training, you know. So it's an exciting game if you actually give it a chance, like, you know. But I suppose a lot of people look at it the same way that they look at the Ryder Cup or the Lions Tour. They see no point in it, you know, maybe. But you know, if you give it a chance, then you know, you appreciate it for what the players are doing there, like, you know, playing for the country and you know, going up against professionals in Australia. You know, it's a good game. But
the two test thing is going to help it this time around, though, I feel
it should do. Yeah, you know, the first game I suppose, you know, it'll probably hopefully it won't go back towards what it was 10 years ago, but you know, there might be a bit of needle in the second game, all right. But
is there part of me that actually does want that kind of needle?
I don't know. You put up a picture on Twitter yesterday, myself from Colin Boyle in Croke Park a couple of years ago, getting to know each other. But I don't know. I suppose when you go on a field there, your competitiveness takes over, and I don't know, you know, you want a small bit, maybe a small bit, like to make it really, like, to get the competitive juices flowing. But you'll be worried on the other side. You're coming up against most of those guys are, you know, 6'5", 6'6", and full time athletes. Like, so it's you know, it could be daunting, alright. But you know, we give it a shot anyway.
Have you had some sense from Joe or from the management team? Because the management team in and around Joe is kind of experienced in terms of what they've done with international rules before.
Experience, yeah. And they had a great win the last time it was in Ireland. So they're very astute. Like, and tactics wise, we should be on the ball. But
how do you approach together, something like this tactics wise? I think, unusual at least,
the aim of the game is just to get your marks and progress up the field, like almost like a chess game, like, you know. And the odd time, don't take your mark and move it on, like when it's required to keep the game flowing, like. But ultimately, like, I suppose what I'd say is that as Irish players, as an Irish forward, my psyche is, when I get the ball, the first thing I think about is, can I get a goal out of this? You know, how can I get a goal? That's my first thought when I get a ball. Like, am I close enough to get a shot, or am I close enough to leave it off, or can we create a goal out of this? You know, so I think this game just kind of flips that over, and that you, like, there's 6 points for a goal, but a point, you know, an over is 3 points. So in our game, it's three times the value of a point. In that game, it's two. So, you know, if you can pin them in, 2 points is a goal. So there's no point in even going for a goal. I think you just get the mark inside the 45 and have your shot. Try and get as many overs as you can there. You know, if you get maybe 5 in every quarter, that's good enough to win the last couple of series. You know, that's 15 points a quarter in the 4 quarters there. So
you've clearly put the thought into it.
Yeah, I've actually had it. You know, it's important. Like, if you're going to do it, like, do it right. You know, I think, you know, so. So I want to play it well, like, you know. So obviously, you know, as I said, when the juices get flowing, like, you know, you want to be competitive and you want to win. You don't want to be going out there, you know, not representing yourself well, or representing
your
town.
I think we're going to have to be looking out for you now, like, next week,
watching
where the elbows are going.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be shockingly bad, but hopefully the boys will give me the ball as well.
Yeah. Well, it is, like, again, it's a new thing, and we have to coalesce as one, where you ordinarily wouldn't. I mean, you're used to playing with your club. You can have little units from within your club progress onto the inter-county panel. But for this, you know, it's, you know, we're all kind of cobbled together a little bit, you know. Have you been there before, Colin, with the international?
Yeah, I was there 3 years ago in Australia, yeah.
And you've got the Australian experience out of it as well. I mean, is there any pieces of advice that you could pass on to Paul? Or
I suppose what struck me was how well they actually kicked the ball 3 years ago. Now, it was only one game at the time, which was probably a huge anticlimax after the, you know, going up to Dublin for 6 or 7 weeks, you know, training, even going up midweek for training, and then out there for maybe 2 weeks, and then just one game. It was a huge anticlimax, you know, afterwards, especially the fact that we didn't actually perform. They really blew us out of the water. But I think the thing that really struck me is how well they actually kicked the ball and kicked their scores, their points in our game. You know, they were very good at it, you know, so kind of took all of us by surprise, really, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's the way they move the ball. It's very hard to pin them down. Obviously, people do talk about the game and the tackle and stuff like that. You know, you can wrap them, obviously, almost in a rugby style tackle, but it's very hard to pin them down because they're so good with their hands. They get the ball, they're used to getting rid of the ball quick in their game, and it's very hard to pin them down. They're excellent with the ball in the hands and the way they move it, you know.
That's actually one of the main skills they do, like, you know, handballing, they call it, fist passing, like, you know. That's Mark O'Connor from my club is out there, and basically the main skill that they practice is every day they'll be handballing, like, they're just off to left and right getting rid of the ball, because in their game, if you don't get rid of it, it's a turnover. Same in this game, like, it's a turnover and it's a free against you, like, if you don't get the ball out of your hands, like. So I suppose anywhere within 5 metres you're game for a tackle, like. So it's all about moving it on, like, you know. So
and the other side of that then is that they're very good at pinning you, you know, if you're dwelling on the ball, or that you don't have many options in front of you, you're nailed. You know, you don't have time, and it's a free against you. Then you know if you get caught, you know.
Yeah, we'll have more from the lads. There's been another goal, in fact, at the Bet365. We'll bring you news of that one. Riyad Mahrez have put Leicester 2-1 up. It's now level again at 2-2. Details of that one, a whole lot more from the lads coming up after this.
Off the Ball on Newstalk,
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
MSL Ballsbridge Motors Mercedes-Benz is delighted to announce the opening of our newly renovated showroom on Shelburne Road. We are proud to have the largest Mercedes-Benz car showroom in Ireland, displaying over 30 stunning Mercedes-Benz models. Visit us today at MSL Ballsbridge Motors. We'd love to see you.
The 11th Annual Image Businesswoman of the Year Awards takes place on Monday, November the 20th at the Clayton Hotel, Burlington Road, Dublin. Join us for a very special gala evening when we celebrate winners in 9 categories, plus the overall Image Businesswoman of the Year, in association with Grant Thornton, Samsung The Loop No. 7 and Coonan Nagle. Tickets on image.ie.
Proudly supported by Newstalk.
Jennifer Haskins here from Two's Company. I'm often asked, what kind of people join a dating agency? Well, people exactly like you. In life, we invest in material things and we don't always put ourselves first. And we all know how important a good relationship is. So when you're ready to make that move, we're here to find that someone special for you. Trust the professionals. See twoscompany.ie today. And remember, you're in good company with Two's Company.
Thinking of buying an Xbox? At Smith's Toy Superstores, you can get the Xbox One 500GB Minecraft Pack with FIFA 18 and an extra controller for an incredible $269.99. It's the perfect family bundle of 2 games, 2 controllers, and the Xbox One console for $269.99. Offer valid until Thursday the 9th of November, while stocks last. Smith's Toy Superstores.
My name is Graham Burke. I married with 2 kids, 2 boys. When I contacted Leia Life, it was a very positive experience. The lady on the phone was really helpful. We actually spoke to a human, which made it very, very easy. Leia Life is, for me, very affordable for what you get for it, because the level of cover you get for the monthly payments is very reasonable. I would say to other people regarding life insurance that it's something that it's a real peace of mind.
One life, many stories. That's why there's Leia Life. Protect your loved ones from €10.10 per month. Call us or visit leialife.ie for a 10% online discount. Insurance provided by IPTQ Life SA. Leia Healthcare Limited, trading as Leia Life and Leia Healthcare, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Graham received payment for his time making this commercial.
It's not easy trying to manage a business fleet. Sometimes you need more cars and vans on the road, sometimes less. You don't want to buy a fleet. That would tie up capital. You want flexibility without the commitment. At Europe Car Business Fleet Services, we specialise in fleet mobility with no fixed contracts, so you can scale monthly. Flexibility as you need it. And nationwide locations accessible 7 days a week with a tailored business collection and delivery service. Find your fleet solutions at europecarfleet.ie. Europe Car, moving your way.
The Off the Ball Roadshow returns on Thursday, November 9th with a World Cup playoff special at the RDS. Be there for a night of crack and nostalgia with some football greats as we look ahead to the crucial clash between the Republic of Ireland and Denmark. The Off the Ball Roadshow, Thursday, November 9th at the RDS. Thanks to Carlsberg, proud partners of Irish football. Tickets €20 for individuals or €50 for a group of 3 at offtheball.com/Ireland.
Over 18s only. Booking fees apply. Drink alcohol sensibly. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Well, Sparky, my faithful old hound, I think I leave the car to my brother. And the house will go to Anne and the children, of course. What's that? Well, of course, you'll be well looked after too, my friend. And you'll be pleased to hear I'm leaving something to the neglected and abandoned dogs of Ireland too. Yes, I'm going to include Dogs Trust in my will, so those poor dogs can be rescued and cared for and given homes with good people who love them all their days. Yes, it is a fine idea, isn't it?
Please remember neglected and abandoned dogs during my Legacy Week from October 30th to November 4th. Just 1% of what you leave can make a huge difference. Text WILL to 50100 and we'll call you back with more information. That's Will to 50100 or visit dogstrust.ie.
The new Peugeot SUV range is waiting for you at your local Peugeot dealer. The 2008 Irish Small SUV of the Year. The revolutionary new 3008 Car of the Year 2017. And the highly anticipated new 5008, now available to order. All with Peugeot's unique iCockpit interior. Plus, the high performance and efficiency you expect from a Peugeot. Never have SUVs gone so far. See Peugeot.ie for details.
Off the ball.
In association with AIR, watch 35 live European Rugby Champions Cup games this season on the AIR Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, welcome back. More from our Saturday panel momentarily. I told you just before the break, it is with about 10 minutes to go at the Bet365. Stoke 2, Leicester 2. Let's hear about this latest Stoke goal from Derek Clark.
It's Stoke City 2, Leicester City 2. Super sub Peter Crouch with the goal. Corner kick whipped into the box. And there was a veteran England striker to head the ball past Kasper Schmeichel and make it Stoke 2, Leicester 2.
Yep, there you go. The evergreen Peter Crouch bringing Stoke level will be across the day's games as well. The 3 o'clock kickoffs. Speaking to Kevin Kilbane just before those, and we'll have Gary Breen on the line a little bit later and Kenny Cunningham after 5 as well to sum things up. But we mentioned the evergreen Peter Crouch. We're kind of seeing now the turn of the year, as you mentioned, Porrick, the retirements have started to come through in the past couple of months or so, and with Tip, and it's a case of regeneration with all of you. It's just this weird quirk where all of you obviously won All-Stars, but we obviously all have managers who ratified until 2020, so there's a great deal of surety going forward about what's in the pipeline, especially from a Tip perspective for you for the next year. So that's obviously a boon for you.
Yeah, we'd be happy enough with that, because ever since I've commanded Tip Penland, he's kind of manager stayed for 2 years, moved on 2 years, moved on. So like, there was never that good number of years of a bit of a structure to it. Like, you know, so it's great that Mick has decided to stay on for another couple of years, and hopefully that continuity will help us going forward. Like, because you do need it. Like, and even speaking to Kevin Moran there last night in the convention centre, like, he was hoping that Derek McGrath decides to stay on, because you can't beat that bit of continuity if you want to work towards something like winning All Ireland or that. Like, if there's going to be a lot of switching and change in the backroom staff, like, it's going to make it harder for us players.
Yeah, as we saw with taking the Munster lead, as we mentioned earlier on, I mean, they're having to change head coach halfway through the season. Obviously that's not going to be the case in a GAA sense, but again, when you're working with somebody, you want to know that there is going to be a deal of continuity. You want to know as early as possible as well that you're going to be working with that manager going forward throughout the year, and you want to know that you're going to be able to build upon what was ultimately, you know, not the worst of seasons from a Tipperary perspective, getting to that semi-final.
Yeah, look, I suppose we went out with our heads held high, like, you know, the way we battled against Galway. But as you said there, you do need a continuity, and it's great that we have them for the couple of years, and it's great for the younger lads coming in there that they have something to work towards, and, you know, if they can put the, you know, perform in front of this manager, they know he's going to be there for the next number of years. He might hold on to him, you know, that kind of way. So there's not going to be that change next year that, you know, we've only one more year and that's it and we're moving on, like, you know.
You mentioned change. The round robin comes in this year, especially in the championship. Are you in favour, are you against?
Yeah, like, it's very hard to know what way it's going to go next year. Like, because we're playing four championship matches one week after the other, like, and then I think we've the bye in the last week. So, like, you could be looking into the, you could be playing, you're there in the last weekend, playing no match, and you're looking on, hoping someone might do you a favour, like, the way it is. So, it's going to be interesting, but, like, we were talking about again last night, the National League is very enjoyable because you're playing matches week on week, and they're very good games, like, so hopefully the Provincial Championship will work out the same, and, you know, hopefully attract a good crowd, and, you know, as I said, any team can be anyone in Munster, that's for sure.
But it is that lack of surety, like you mentioned it, in terms of management, when you don't necessarily know how a championship is going to pan out. I mean, that's not the best of mindsets to be heading into, and it's one that you're all in the same boat in terms of hurling championship.
Yeah, like, and like, you're playing National League there from the end of January, and you're going straight into a championship. Like, it's fairly hectic, like, you know, and if you're going flat out to try and win a National League from the end of January, like, what way is the team, the panel, your body's going to be come September, you know, that kind of way. So, and, you know, it's going to be very hard for management to work it, but I suppose, look, every team is going to the unknown next year in regards to championship. So
is it asking too much of you?
I don't know. People,
I know you're not going to necessarily say yes. I'm a lazy so and so. I want to have a few weeks off. But we have to bring it back to the, you know, your amateur players. You've got lives outside of this thing, And you can't necessarily, regardless of what it is, whether it's work or whether it's playing for tip, you can't be flogging yourself. Because if you flog yourself, then you can't give your best at what you're going to do. And if everybody's going to be in the same boat, then it's going to take a hell of a lot out of players next year if you're going to have this system.
Yeah, you know, and if you're anyway successful next year, like, why are you going to be playing? You're going to be playing upwards 7 or 8 league matches, your 4 provincial championship matches. If you get to the provincial final, then you're talking about 12, 13, 14 games, like, all high quality games, and they're tough games, like, because you're playing top quality opposition in each one of them. So, like, you're going to be fairly flogged after that. But look, most of the players wanted more games, so we'll see how it plans out.
Does that affect how you broach the league?
I don't know what way they're going to manage them or going to work with, but, like, you're not going to go out and not try, like, you know, that kind of, as I said, people are going to say you're not going to go full blooded for the league, but at the end of the day, you're given a jersey, like, you're not going to not give 100% in it, like.
But to be more of an onus on Michael to perhaps try things out or work out the kinks in the league more so than he might have done.
Yeah, I'd say there'd be a lot of players that get opportunities during the league, I'd say. And look, if you're winning games, then all well and good. If you're performing well, all well and good. Like, but at the end of the day, you want to blood a few players in the league, you know, working a few different kind of things, tactics wise and that. And because if you go, you're going back to it, you're playing the 5 teams in the league, and if you're going flat out in them games, you're going to be playing them again a couple of weeks after in Munster Championship games. So look, you want to be trying things out in the league, and all well and good if you're winning the silver at the end of it, but at the end of the day, it's about championship.
Does it take away from, I'm not saying the championship loses luster, but it's not what it was. If you're working on a league basis, you're working essentially in the same way of how the league works. It's just a different kind of league for the championship this time around. Does that detract a little bit from what the Munster Championship was, in terms of everybody can beat everybody, and, you know, you might see a team knocked out and have to rely on the qualifiers, and after that it takes on a different hue this time around?
Yeah, you know, I suppose when you go in, like, so we played Cork last year, we knew it was, if we didn't win it, obviously we're going to the qualifier route, but, like, I'd be more traditionalist anyway. I like going playing in the likes of Páirc Uí Chaoimh, into Thurles, you know, into the Gaelic grounds in Limerick, and playing Munster semi-finals and that. You know, there's a great atmosphere, there's a great buzz to it, like, so it's going to be interesting to see the way it works out. Like, it's still going to be very, very interesting. Like, you're going down to Walsh Park, only probably holds 13,000-14,000, and if you have a must-win game against Waterford, like, in the middle of summer, like, that's going to be fantastic to be a part of, like. Yeah. So it'll be interesting like that, and, you know, more games in New Páirc Uí Chaoimh as well, so there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. We've loads of questions coming in. 53106 is the number you can tweet us as well, at Off the Ball. We had a question for Colm. We've two essentially to play into how things played out for yourself in the championship. One was the constant substitutions of yourself was one of them. Was that something that was spoken about with Stephen Rochford? Was that something that was not necessarily planned, but it's like, listen, when we get to 60 odd minutes, this is what's going to happen. If we need to change things, we need to freshen things up, we'll have to bring you aside. Is it a case of age and legs and all that kind of thing playing into it?
To be honest, it was something that was never spoken about. In my opinion, it didn't need to be spoken about. It's the way the game is. You know, we have a very strong panel, and on any given day, literally, it could be anyone coming off the bench, it could be anyone coming off. So literally, it was a non-issue really for me. Like, you know, I was just concentrating on, when I was on the pitch, to make sure that I could be as effective as I was, you know.
The second part of that one was there any plan B for the Aidan O'Shea and Donaghy move? Were they working on the tactic for long? Asked the texter.
As in, if that wasn't working,
if that was going really badly pretty early on, where were we going to head with that
one? I think I was the plan B. I had to go back.
Really?
And
okay.
No, definitely not. I'm sure there was. Yeah, not. I wasn't aware of any plan B. But I'm sure the boys had something in mind. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
but he was taken by surprise as everybody else was when Aidan went back there.
I suppose I hadn't really thought about it, you know, as much. You know, people obviously are talking about, you know, obviously, you know.
We're not planning it in training. In terms of how the defence is going to be set up.
We were talking about, but look at you look at Kerry, like, you've Paul, you've James O'Donoghue, you've so many other boys. You know, you can't, you know, obviously Kieran Downey's a big factor, but, and he, as Andy said last night, he has done damage to us over the years. But, you know, you can't just put all your focus just on him and whatever, because there's so many other players that just can destroy you, really. You know,
Andy also said Aidan was one of your best defenders.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's saying a lot for the rest of us.
All-star defenders.
But, you know, was there a look over the shoulder of what are they doing here? Because it was spoken about. Brady had mentioned it in the week leading up to the game, that this is something that could possibly... He said, I'll tell you one thing, this is possibly going to happen. We're going to have Aidan O'Shea backing on Kieran Donaghy. And everybody kind of looked at him and went, yeah, right there, all right, Grant.
Yeah.
And then it suddenly same came to pass.
Yeah, maybe he gave them an idea. It might have been a David Brady idea that the boys picked up on.
Don't give him a fatter head, he already has.
But it was one of those things. It was strange on it, even in training. It was strange seeing him, you know, obviously in full back coming out attacking, but usually, you know, you'd be, when he's in there, you're pumping the ball into him or whatever, like, but it was strange. But look, it was what it was, and I think people made probably a bigger issue of it than it was at the time, but it worked out for us in the end, which was great, you know.
What did he make of it, Paul, when you saw it happening?
Yeah, look, you don't really take much, you know. I was looking at Brennan Harrison, you know, and
are you like, yeah, ground yourself with a bunch of space for me, kind of thing?
Look, you're coming up against, with especially with Mayo, like, you're coming up against the best defenders in the country there, like, you know, that team. The last couple of years have had, like, an outstanding defence, which has got them so far as well, like, you know. It was just, you know, that's why they've so many all-stars back there. But I was only looking after my own corner. What was happening with Mayo and their fullback, like, was their business, and hearing on his his worry, like, you know. And you know, he got on with it, and we got on with it as players. But yeah, there was a big thing in the media right afterwards and all that. But you can't be looking at that as a player, like, you know.
As we mentioned, everybody, you know, whether it's Michael Ryan staying on, Stephen Rochford, also Aaron Fitzmaurice until 2020, we've got that deal, an air of continuity around each three of the sides. For Kerry, though, from the outside looking in, it appears as if there is a slight more case for regeneration, that there's going to be slightly more turnover of the squad than there would be for Mayo or for Tipperary over the next year or two in particular, that he has to work through. Is that a sense that you've had as members of the panel as well, that there's, you know, this work needs to be done here? There's a couple of lads who are, you know, tipping into their mid-30s and beyond that will need to be refreshed.
Not until we lost the All-Ireland semi-final replay. You know, we were hoping and thinking that we were going to go all the way this year, as you would as a player every year, like, you know. But stability is great, like, as a player, like, to have that stability and continuity as well in what you're doing. And you know, there will be freshness like coming in, either with this training squad or whatever's going on in the back room as well. You know, there's going to be something different, like, this year, which is, you know, it's nice to keep things fresh as well. But like, Eamon is very astute, like, and he knows what he's doing, like. So, you know, all this, you know, talk in the background is nice, you know, that I don't heed or pay any attention to. And you know, I'd often have customers talking about it, but I just don't pay it any heed, because it's you know, my job is to play as well as I can for Kerry and try and win, you know, medals. But what happens after that then is, you know, it's not really my business, as long as things are getting done, and they are getting done. So I'm happy as a player, and I know all the rest of the players are happy. Obviously, there's a wealth of talent there in the last couple of years for All-Ireland at minor level, you know. The 20s, you know, this year is going to change a small bit, and that if you play under 20, you can't play for the senior squad and vice versa. But that's next year's challenge as well. Like, but I know those young fellas are going to be, you know, coming into the scene. A lot of them are around training and stuff already, but you know, they'll physically develop and come to senior, you know, standard in their own time. And it's exciting as a player to see what's coming, and you know, you're hoping as many of them as possible come through.
We were asking Darren O'Sullivan about the Mr. D. Clifford coming through in the next while or so, and he was not necessarily putting the brakes on the case for him to be, you know, automatically promoted to the senior squad, but he's at least adding a note of caution, going, listen, people don't realise the step up that is there between minor and 21 up until, yeah.
Huge, like, yeah. Like, people just think that, oh, you can throw a young fella there into the senior team. It doesn't work like that at all, like, you know. And you can see it even when young fellas do come into a senior setup, like, you know, you've got to play well in training first. And then, you know, you get your opportunity then to wear the senior jersey, which is a huge thing, like, you know, especially, like, you know, around us there. I was 23 before I got the chance to grasp the jersey with both hands, like. And it took me, like, my first training was 19 years of age in with Kerry, and I wasn't up to the standard at all, like. And I was at 2 year 21 at that point, and you know, just it took me a couple of years to get physically fit, conditioned for the senior game, you know, and get to that pitch of what it takes, like. And
what is the difference physically, like?
I suppose just the fact that the guy that's marking you is more than likely faster than you and stronger than you, you know. Like it's easy when you're probably, you know, bigger and stronger than a guy at 18 or, yeah. or 17 or 16. You know, you often see guys in your own club there that probably, you know, the best thing that's ever going to happen, or the club next door or whatever, and all of a sudden then guys catch up with strength and physically the same, and you know, if they don't have the skills up to scratch, then, like, you know, they mightn't even play senior football. Like, so it's a different story there. Like, but once a guy has got the skills and 2 or 3 years in the gym there and conditioning and getting the body right to step up to senior, then they're in with a great show then, like, you know. But
what kind of environment is the Kerry one like to step up into?
It's tough, like, you know. It took me the bones of 2 years, like, of actual training to get to.
How did the panel welcome in a young player?
Great, yeah. Like the Kerry lads was when I went in. I suppose when I first went in, it was a shock to the system. You're looking at the three, like, two Shays were there still, and I suppose Dara was. It was 2010, so Dara was gone, but the two Shays were there, and Paul Galvin, and you know, Donaghy, and all the gang that was after Mahoney, and, you know, all that gang, you know. And it was a kind of a shock to the system that you're looking around at what they did from 2000 to 2010. They were in 9 All-Ireland finals, yeah. or something, you know. It's incredible, like, and they had done it all, like, you know. And into that training and trying to, like, runs, like, wouldn't have been my forte at all, you know. And trying to keep up with them guys running, like, was a serious shock to the system. But they were unreal, like, for a young fella going into that panel. Very welcoming, all gentlemen, like, you know, and pushing you on and trying to get the best out of you as well. But you know, it was great. And then when I came in 13 and started making the team, you had Declan O'Sullivan there, like, it was unreal as well, you know, for that sort of thing. So there's no guy in the Kerry dressing room. Often fellas would ask, like, one question, like, and they'd be like, who's the you know, the, I won't say
everybody
here,
presumes,
yeah.
it's Donaghy,
but I don't know, that's perception, I suppose, maybe on TV or something, but yeah. You know, there has to be somebody that you don't like, not like, you know, there's yeah. no man inside in that dressing room that has, you know, an ego that's too big for the dressing room or anything like that. And, you know, they're all very friendly, like, and it's a great place to be, like, you know. And it's they're friends that you'll have forever, like, so it's great, like. But it was, as a young fella going in there, you couldn't have been going into a better dressing room.
Yeah. How much change is needed in terms of Mayo's panel for next year, Colin?
I'm sure, like every team or every panel, I'm sure there'll be a couple of changes. I'm sure the new lads that have played well maybe in club championship over the last couple of weeks and months, you know. I'm sure Stephen will be looking at them, and maybe a couple of younger lads that have been with Mayo over the last couple of years as well. So yeah, I'm sure that there's always a turnover. You're always looking to find maybe one or two boys that come in and train and make a difference, you know.
Yeah, it's an altered season for you as well, with the Super 8 towards the back end too.
Yeah, it's it'll be as Park was saying there about the hurling championship. You know, it'd be interesting to see how that plans out. You know, obviously the key, the main thing, I suppose, is you have to be in it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you can figure it out then after that. You know, how you're going and whatnot. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
We have a couple of questions in as well before we finish up. Well, lads, I'd just like to ask Paul Ganey about his scarf last night. Absolutely loved it. Where did the scarf end up is what I want to know.
Inside the jacket pocket. It was all right. It made it home.
Were you surprised at the eyebrows that were raised? Were you just trying to, you know?
Jesus, getting some publicity. It's a good thing I don't have, you know, a soft underbelly or anything. I can take a bit of crack, like, but I don't take myself seriously. So, but one of my buddies there was with me last night. He took it off me just after the dinner, and he put it above his head like it was
Rambo.
You'll never walk alone was being sung. Okay, so yeah.
it didn't end up like the wedding or his head
or anything like that. So it was grand. Yeah.
So at least it's safe. Whose idea was the scarf, by the way?
It was my own idea. Yeah, it was my own idea. It was out there small, but I knew I was going to get stick, and I expect stick, I suppose. It's a good thing I'm going to Australia for the next month.
Yeah, somewhere they take kindly to scarves as well when you're heading down to midsummer. But somebody else, the same texture adds in, Paddy Morris stole the show with his dapper suit from Little Watts.
Wasn't too bad, yeah.
That's understated. Come on now, this is a good suit.
Yeah, it was grand. I just asked the lads to kick me out whenever. I have no taste for it whatsoever, so fair play to the lads in Littlewoods for that.
You kind of worry, it's almost like a say yes to the dress thing where you're leaving somebody else, leaving in somebody else's hands for them to pick out your gear for the night. You're going to be judged by that one for the night.
I know, yeah, but
the last thing you want is to pick out something you're like, lads, there's no way. There's no way.
Once it's not like Paul Gainey now. Or
Paul Manion had a nice
Paul Manion had a nice one as well.
Jacket,
yeah.
As well, yeah.
I think it was, the scarf was made from what was left over from the jacket.
You're playing it safe, Colin?
Yeah, I kept it nice and safe, but I left my scarf at home, yeah.
See, that's the voice of experience, yeah. Right there. That's the voice of experience. Lads, we've kept you long enough and from your hangovers for now. We'll let you get back to it and rest up. Thank you for coming in this afternoon, and cheers for the past year as well.
Thanks so much.
Part of Mark, Colin Boyle and Paul Gainey, thanks so much for coming in. We will have viral sensation Kevin Kimad on the show next.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.